Welcome to Christ Church Kingwood.
Excited today just to be with you, and happy Mother's Day. We're getting our wives back for some of us, so welcome back. Hope you all had a good time. Today we're not going to get to celebrate with our moms. Kelsey's mom is in Canada, my mom is in Dallas, and they're traveling to see their moms. So celebrate your moms today. Celebrate the moms in your life. Got to pray with the guys. We usually do before the service, praying over Cap and the worship team, praying over this, praying over just everyone gathering into the room, the unknowns of whoever walks through the door this morning, to be able to pray over them. And we prayed over those that have lost your moms, those that suffer with that idea of maybe not having your mom, even though she's still alive. And so I'm just praying for y'all this morning, and pray that you get to celebrate, even as God has done amazing work, maybe despite mom, or maybe because of mom. And that's my testimony. My mom has prayed me out of a life of really some deep anger. And that might be funny to some of you, but I was kind of a rage monster growing up. And so she has graciously prayed Christ into my life and has modeled that along with my dad. And so I'm always deeply humbled to be up here because of that. And knowing what I've came from, knowing how the Lord has brought people from Europe, from Asia, from North America, Central America, into this room this morning. I know a lot of your stories are, you come from Baptist church, Methodist church, Catholic church, home church, for some of you, no churches. And so it's amazing what he does on a Sunday morning, every time we get to open up his word, that he has allowed us to look upon this gospel. And he's bringing us into places that we should have never been in. And so it's humbling. It's humbling this morning. Many of us didn't even know each other. Probably 15 years ago, I knew some of you, but most of us didn't even know Christ that long ago. And so to just be humbled by that this morning and our testimonies. And so I've just reflected on that, and knowing that it would be Mother's Day, knowing what my mom has done, knowing what my parents have sacrificed for God's church. And growing up, I grew up in Roman Forest, not too far from here, just north of New Caney, actually in New Caney, but a little subdivision that its own city of Roman Forest. And when we moved back here, we went to College Station, met Kelsey, got married, moved back here a few years later in 2014, and all we had at the time was little one-year-old Sammy, which she's still pretty little back there, but she's eight now, almost eight. But we moved back here. I had a degree that was decent from a good university. Kelsey has multiple degrees. She's got a nursing license in her pocket. She comes with all the prestige and honors from all of her schools that she's ever been in. That's not me. But I say that to say we were super hireable at the time. We could go anywhere in the world. And we landed in New Caney, Texas, working for my dad out in Cleveland, Texas, because I wanted to move back and see what it would look like to work for him. And so we moved back to this place that I grew up in, and many of you have landed here too, and this was not on your radar, but here we are. So I'm glad you're here. The Lord does an amazing work in us, but we moved back to this area, and we landed in Cleveland, working for my dad there, and it was this mecca of opportunity. But the Lord has done amazing work over the last 7 years, and I wanted just to allude to all that to say that it is the Lord bringing us here. And when we first got to Christ Church, we maybe had a weekend or two of getting to worship with Christ Church back when it was at Woodland Hills Elementary. And I remember standing in the back with a group of families that had also just moved here, and Cheryl was talking to us, and she was asking how it was going, and we just kind of started unloading, like, it's been hard, it's been rough, we miss friends, we feel like it's been a loss, and it's been hard to, like, really think through, like, this is where we're going to be at for a lot of those families. And she just said very confidently, it's my fault. You know, sorry. And I said, what? Your fault? And I remember talking through that. But she said something to the extent, and I wrote this down because it's stuck with me. We have prayed for you. I didn't know that it would be these families that have started coming lately. And I'm sorry it's been hard. But we have prayed that God would bring you, and he has. And that was profound for me. I'm sure Cap or Patrick or Jeremy preached an amazing sermon that weekend, but I don't remember that. I remember Cheryl's words, and they've stuck with me. because it reminds me that despite who we are, maybe even with the baggage that we come with, that the Lord uses us. And he uses us and walks alongside of us and lets us speak into other people's lives. And so I cling to what she said, and it reminds me of kind of what we just walked through in Mark, or in Luke 9, when Christ sends out the disciples, and he sends us into these places that he knows we're going to struggle. In Luke 9, you can write that down, go look at it later, but he called us together and has given us power and authority over these places or these struggles that we have to work through. And he sends us out, not just for us, but to proclaim his goodness. And so whether the people that you're neighbors with or that you work with know it or not, God is in control. He is powerful and his kingdom prevails. And so I want that to be the news that you hear this morning. I'm not going to say anything new. I'm going to say grace a lot. And I'm going to say gospel a lot. But I want you to hear that it is good news this morning. And then to pray and ask the Lord to show you what that good news is if you don't know it already. That we were once dead, and now we exist to glorify God and make disciples. And so Patrick opened up the last 2 weeks talking through First Peter 1 and verses 1 through 9. And part of that says, obtaining the outcome of their faith, the salvation of their souls. So this church in Asia, in Turkey, this place that he's talking to as they're being dispersed across this Middle Eastern place, they're starting to see that. They're tasting the nearness and the peace of Christ, even in the midst of struggle. Some of you know that. You have felt that. And so they're seeing him and experiencing joy, even as they're going through trial, even as they hurt, even as they leave families. Maybe they move back home. Maybe they move to a new town and they feel loss. God confirms their call to sojourn the earth through this grace that he gives them. And a lot of that comes through his church, being a part of a community like this, to feel his nearness, to see him protect us and take care of us, or as Peter describes it, giving them an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, being kept and guarded by God himself. And so that's where I want to lead us this morning. The faith that Peter is writing about, that we've already talked about through the first 9 verses, it's leading to this increase and this hope that's found in Jesus. And it continues to grow. I see it in you guys. I see it how we experience each other, how we're having terrible weeks. But every time we leave that small group, I'm humbled and encouraged because it is from the Lord that we get to pray and rejoice and take community and communion together. And so I want to pray for us. I know I'm already deep into this, but let's pray. If you would pray for me, and then we'll read the text. God, I thank you for this morning. I ask that your Holy Spirit would clearly communicate, Father, just the emotion and the depth packed into what Peter is writing here, not only to the early church, but Father, to us as well. I pray that we would pray together, that you would use your word in this moment, Father, that you would cast our eyes on the hope that we have in you, that your word is living and active. God, I pray that it would minister to our hearts and stir us to look upon your goodness and grace. God, I ask that you would teach us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to be in 1 Peter. If you want to turn there, we'll be in verses 10 through 12 today in our text. And it says this. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. There's a lot in there, but I'm going to break this into three sections, and I've kind of put some weird colors up there on some of these slides to kind of see some of that. But this first section, it's going to walk through a majority of the text that we just read, so verses 10 through the first part of 12. And Peter starts to paint this picture of these prophets. And he casts this vision of them being intensely interested and inquisitive about what was to come. So already we see in the Old Testament that the Spirit of Christ, he says that in this verse, the Spirit of Christ was present and they were all well aware, even if they didn't know the specific details of this coming Messiah. They had the details from the Psalms, some of them. They had Isaiah. They had some other accounts of the prophecies of Christ. Yet, even with not knowing when or who this would be, their hope and their message was clear. If you look at verse 10, their message was founded in the grace, Peter says. And not just the grace, but what does he say there? He says, the grace that was to be yours. So Peter is very much talking to the people of the dispersion that Patrick talked about the last nine verses there, but he's also talking to the saints that would come, saints around the world that have received salvation through Jesus Christ. And so Peter's writing about these prophets who inquired about who the person would be, and they hungered to know intensely when this would happen, is what verse 11 says. And it so much grieved them, it stirred this intense interest and desire for the things that would come with the Christ and his preceding, or it says subsequent, glories as they would be revealed at a later time. And so he paints this picture again of this ache. It's a longing, yet hopeful endurance of verses 10 and 11 playing out. And so I want to make that clear. The prophets were intensely interested in the grace that would be revealed to you. And verse 12 says it this way. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. And so as I read through that, prayed through that this week and the last few weeks, it's humbling. Kind of like I said starting off, it's humbling ever to take this platform. It's humbling ever to share your testimony. It's humbling to consider your position as a mom or a dad or a leader in your home or a child that leads or that obeys your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But to take that and be humbled by what Peter is saying in those first nine verses, it then leads us to verse 10 and 11 to talk about how these prophets spent their days carefully looking into something. And now that something is what you and I now know. And so the church, I'm going to say this twice, the church has received the inheritance of everything that the people of the Old Testament hoped for. The church, you and I, have received the inheritance of everything that the people of the Old Testament hoped for, waited for. The first 39 books of the Bible, of God's word, were written in the longing for the things that we are now heirs to, we've inherited. And God's prophets, Peter is saying that they so desired to know why the Christ would suffer, to ask questions, is it going to come in my day? Is he going to come in my day? What will it mean if I never get to lay eyes on this Savior? What are these subsequent glories that the Spirit continues to confirm? And then here in verse 12, Peter says, it has been revealed to you. You have received this hope. The church has received this hope that they waited for. And everything that was shown to them or asked of them from the Lord, it was for you. It was for God's church. Everything that they had waited for and we did nothing for, it wasn't about them, but they were serving us by being obedient to God. So the things that they hoped for, this grace that Peter's talking about, it's the thing that we now cling to. We have it. We have it. And so if it felt this intense for them, if they're longing for this, if it stirs them to seek out when and who and how, then how much more so for us? We know it. We have it. How much more do we cling to that and rejoice in what the Lord has given to us and what he's unpacked and continues to unpack for us? And so that's the first section that I want to look at, is that verse 10, the first part of 10, all the way through where you go through 12, and it says, not serving themselves, but you. To put a great emphasis on this longing of the prophets, looking into when and what and who. And then the second section, I'm going to read this again. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news, which is the gospel, that's the meaning, good news, who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And so if we got a good emphasis on the value of this grace, then the second section puts even a greater emphasis on this good news. It says, you have received the gospel through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, who inspired the people that are now preaching, the evangelists, those being sent out from the Lord. And so Peter ups the ante from the first section. It's men or prophets that long to know. And then this second section is now the Holy Spirit-inspired preachers and evangelists of which this grace has been revealed, and they reveal it to you. And so he's saying this whole message that a lot of us, and I'm going back all the way, I've got 34 years of this, and going back to Roman 4, is saturated in this gospel. With the exception of a few Sundays, I've heard this for 34 years. And some of you have heard it for 30, 40, 50, 60. And what they long to know, we're saturated in it. We have it on our iPhones. That's crazy. They long to know, and we've got it everywhere. You post it. I see it on Instagram from some of you. I see it in the way that you teach your kids in homeschool. And in this gospel, if you've ever attended this church even once, you've heard it. We kind of repackage this every Sunday. We're walking through this text, but we're saying the same thing. It is Christ. And guess what? It's enough. If I preach the worst sermon ever, which I may, it's fine. You heard the gospel today. You're going to hear what the Lord has done. Romans 1:16 says, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so I want to ask that question. If this is your first time to hear it, this good news through Christ, if you've heard it for 30, 60 years, do you hear and see what the prophets longed to hear and see? And then we'll jump into this third section. It's seven words, pretty simple. Things into which angels long to look. And so Peter writes as an older man now. He's not the young Peter he was in the garden with Jesus. But he doesn't just put an emphasis on the prophets who longed to know, and not only the Holy Spirit who was inspiring these preachers to go out and share, but now he is saying that the angels, the millions upon millions of God's faithful host that we see through the Old and the New Testament, they also intensely desired, like the prophets, to look upon, or the way that it's described here is for them to stoop down and gaze upon this message that God is revealing to these exiles and sojourners of the earth. And that's how beautiful it is. And I think we forget. It's beautiful news that even God's angelic host, his servants, they want to know. They desire to know what's been revealed to man. And angels are a bit weird. I don't really want to spend too much time on this, but they're mysterious. We've got lots of accounts of them through the Old and New Testament, but then yet kind of not a lot. But they're mysterious. And I think one of the reasons, maybe, I might be reading into it, but Peter drops this here because this gospel's mysterious. It's mysterious. It doesn't make sense. And so we have this good news surrounding angels and prophets and evangelists and preachers, the Spirit of Christ, subsequent glories and sufferings. So why? What's the point? What is Peter walking us into? Because he keeps going. It doesn't end at verse 12, but he keeps pointing to the grace. So what is the grace? you'll go back and look at verse 10, you can highlight this word. I think it's okay to write in your Bible. I don't know. Maybe you don't want to. Underline it, circle it, make a mental note if that's your jam. Maybe just write it down. But this grace, and let's read this again in verse 10. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. So this is the grace that you and I were once against God, that we cannot measure up ever to his standard, that the Old Testament people felt that by being under the weight of the law, that they saw their need for this salvation, that verse 10 says, concerning this salvation. That's the grace. We are failures by all measure of the word. The word says, the Bible says, no one is good. So that's all of us, no one. But then you have God's own messengers, the angels and the prophets here longing with intense desire. It says that they inquired about this, with interest about this grace. But God let them know that it was going to come later. And it was namely for you, Christians who have heard the good news inspired by the Holy Spirit, bearing witness to the fact that this is, it's good news. It's the salvation that they waited for, a Savior coming to heal the people. And just like us, a people that have done nothing, we've done nothing to earn his favor, who were against him, or his word says, we were dead in our trespasses. The scales were too far tipped there. Yet God offers this holy exchange of sorts through his Son to make a way. And I said Peter doesn't stop at verse 12. I'm going to steal some of next week's thunder a little bit. If you'll keep going into verse 13. Therefore, because of what we've already talked about, because of the salvation and the protection that the Lord has already given to us in verses 1 through 9, because of me revealing, Peter's saying, of what I've shown you through this intense longing and desire through the prophets and through the angels, therefore, set your hope fully on grace. That verse says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, Peter isn't going to avoid the fact that we're sinners in need of grace. But rather, his letters to the churches, just like Paul's, they dig into it. They address it. They expose it to show just how far off we are. We're not close to God. We're so far off that we are in need of this grace. So, I just want to ask, if you're convicted this morning, great. I think that's a good place to be. That's what the gospel does, to remind us of who we need, who it is that has power. I think that's an okay place to be this morning. If you're excited again or reminded about what the Lord has done for you, great. I think both of those reactions are both true. We can be convicted and yet empowered and encouraged by this gospel of grace. And then the entire point of Peter's writing here, the reason he brings the perspective of the prophets, the evangelists, the angels, is to show that this grace is so desirable. It's intensely interesting. Often we come in here and it's like, we're going to get done. We're going to drop our kids off and we're going to go on. It's Mother's Day today, so we're going to do that. But this is the thing that should draw our attention. It is the most interesting thing. And he uses these different scenarios in these verses to show why. And verse 13 says why. Therefore, set your hope fully on that grace. We have no hope apart from it. Even as an older man, he goes on to write again in 2 Peter. I want to read this to you. Randomly kind of stumbled upon this week. 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So Peter kind of confirms what he just said again, says it in a different light. But he says, pay attention. Which is funny because Peter, he didn't do that too well as a younger man. So there's still time. He's saying, pay attention. It's not too late. Pay attention to this word. Pay attention to the grace as to a lamp shining in a dark place, to gaze upon its beauty, to see the miraculous work that the Lord does through his gospel. It's been illuminated for you. And then to walk in the counsel of the Holy Spirit. It's us. It's God's church, the ones who are dirty, the ones who have messed up, the baggage we bring in here this morning, the things we've been redeemed of. He's raising his church out of the darkness. And then prophecy being fulfilled in this very scripture, even in this room, because if you go back to the things that God shared with Abraham, another sojourner, and he promised him things back in Genesis, and we're far from there. We're far from Turkey. We're far from Iraq. We're far from the Middle East and everything happening over in Israel right now. So that means his word has gone out. The saints have been dispersed. That they have shared, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, God is bringing up his church. And they're meeting this morning, and they have hours ago throughout the day in pockets like this. God's true church is raising hands, worshiping him because of this gospel message. It's a God that he breaks into our everyday lives and our spaces. You guys have came in here. Some of you just came in from women's retreat, so a little different space. A lot of you are walking in from a heavy work week or having conversations with your parents that are not fun, even 30, 40, 50 years later. So he's breaking in and he's dealing with our problems. He's transcending into different spaces, into problems to preserve, was what Peter shared last week in that text or wrote in the first 9 verses. He's preserving this for you and me, for his church. And so it's clear. It's really simple message. I've probably spent more time than we needed to. I could have said, Jesus died for us and walked away and prayed. Because that's it. That is the gospel. But my message would, my prayer would be that we would continue to set our eyes and our hope on him. That even today, Mother's Day, even hearing the same thing again, that it would blow your mind. That the prayer would be that you meet with him again and you see this grace and this goodness. And from a place of humility, rather, a place of God doing work on our heart, that he would start to bring an excitement, that we would feel the joy and the peace of that New Testament church, that even in their suffering, even in their trial, or as Peter will go on to describe it, fiery trials, intense pain, that God would awake us to what's happening here in this text. That it would be exciting, that we would long for it. And I'm going to read what Cheryl said again, not to pat her on the back. But it's what we pray for y'all. It's what you pray with me as we sit down and pray for the saints of this church. That as we're carried along by the Holy Spirit, we can say we've prayed for you. I didn't know it would be these families sitting here this morning. And I'm sorry it's been hard. And yet, we pray that God would bring you, and he has. And so, I'm just going to ask you this week, as you're celebrating your moms, as you're mourning the loss of your moms, as we're enjoying what the Lord has done and brought into this, and we go out and we enjoy the fellowship of believers, that we would gaze upon this beauty, that we would see it illuminated for us like that lamp in the darkness, that you would recall the grace in your life to look upon this good news, this gospel, things into which angels long to look upon. Okay? Let's pray. God, you are good. It's the song we just sang before this. God, you are our hope. I pray that this would be a morning of worship. God, if we come in here heavy, that you would lift us up. If Father, if we come in here excited, that you would magnify that, or maybe even tether it down so that we can encourage our brothers and sisters who are struggling. God, that you would work in us and carry us along by the Holy Spirit, that we would not cling to anything in us, but Father, that you would do a work in our heart, even for those who are mature in their faith, who have been saturated in this gospel for years. God, that you would do something new this morning. Remind us, that you would remind us of the great depths that Christ has gone through for us. But Father, it would not just even land on us, that the attention would be to you, that you would receive all glory and honor and power. God, we love you. We trust you. We hope in you. I pray that these would not just be words, but God, that this would be our life, that this would be the way that we take care of community, that we raise our kids, that we take care of our friends' kids, that we humble ourselves to have conversations that are uncomfortable and be the people that go out faithful to the call to see your kingdom grow in this community, in the spaces that we inhabit. God, we love you. We pray this in the name of your Son. Amen.